who is here. I can't remember how long. Yeah, probably 3 or 4, yeah, definitely. The years fly in, and time goes, but the boys, you'll see pictures of them in just a bit, and the boys are getting bigger, they're eating more, they're getting in more trouble, but they are good. So my family is doing well. We're going to share about our ministry later on. I have a ministry reaching the addicted and the homeless and the down and out people of society for Jesus Christ. We have people from all over the UK and Ireland. We have guys in from Wales, from Northern Ireland. Do we have any Scottish guys at the moment? No, but we normally do have Scottish guys, actually. We would have normally more Scottish guys than anybody else, but just at the moment we don't have anybody from Scotland. We run a ministry that not only goes and reaches people with the gospel, but we also house them and disciple them in a residential facility that we have in Talla in Dublin. And I run a ministry from our church every Friday night. We've been doing that for the past 11 years. So this is, I've been in ministry, in full-time ministry since 2005. So we've been missionaries now for the past, what year is it this year? 2016. So we're missionaries an awful long time. And I travel a lot. Thankfully, this is my last bit of traveling until after Christmas. So I've been away every week for the past probably 6 weeks or so. I've been helping a pastor down in Cork in Ireland. He's been away back in America, so I've been covering his church. We were in Scotland on Tuesday, me and Aidan. Aidan is one of the staff at New Hope Residential Centre that helps us look after the guys and does class and stuff for us. But Aidan comes from a background of addiction. Aidan used to be a drug addict, okay? So he used to be in real, real trouble and be in prison and all them things. So he's going to share his testimony in the next service, after we have some food. So that will be really exciting and good to be part of. But before we get to that place, we're going to look at some topics with regards to missions. If you would open your Bible with me to the book of Mark, I want you to turn to chapter 16. Really familiar passage. If you're involved in missions, if you know much about missions, you would have gotten here. Because why do we need to be involved in missions? Can anybody tell me what a missionary is? Maybe start off like that. What is a missionary? If I was to ask what's a missionary, could anybody give me an answer? What's a missionary? Man, you can talk to me. Talk to me. What's a missionary? It doesn't matter if you're wrong. Never be afraid to give an answer. Sorry? A missionary can go and go and help the poor. That can be part of what they do, but it's a little bit more than that. Yeah? They certainly do travel around the world and talk, teach people about God, and sometimes they're poor people. Yeah. Anybody else? Add to it? No?
To teach and disciple.
To teach and disciple people. Okay, yeah. Anything else? Pastor?
Tell the good news of the gospel, Jesus Christ crucified and risen
again. That's the answer, all right? But that's what a missionary is to do. Now, my ministry is what I've told you already, is to go and reach, in a sense, the down and outs, all that kind of stuff. That's what I focus on, all right? But it's to everybody else. Do you know, if you're a Christian this morning, that you are responsible for being involved in missions as well, and your church is responsible for being involved in missions? Everybody has to be involved in missions. So where does mission start? Well, obviously, it will start here in your local area, in your local town. You reach in your town, then you're looking at outside of that. But the Bible says we need to go into all the world. Look at Mark 16, verse 15. I'm dyslexic, so if I read the verses backwards, it's not my Bible, it's different. It's just I see things different sometimes. Mark 16:15 says, And he said unto them, go ye into, what's the next word?
All.
What does that word all mean? All means all, and that's all that it means, okay? So Jesus tells us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. What has he just told us to do? He's told us, listen, it's your responsibility to go and reach the world with the gospel. So how are we going to do that? I mean, yous are just here in a little bitty old town in Scotland. I'm just in a little town in Ireland. I mean, when it comes to any sporting events and Ireland are in them, I mean, we have 4.5 million people, but yet we have to play countries like Poland and stuff that has many millions of people that we're never going to be able to beat them. So if we're just a little town in this little country, in this little part of the world, and Jesus gives us this command to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, is it not a bit of a, it's too big of a task to ask for a little church like this? It's too big of a task to ask for a little church like mine back in Dublin, or a little bitty old Christian like me in Tallaght. But it's the command of God. It doesn't matter how I see it, I have to be willing to obey it. So how am I going to obey it? I'm going to go and reach the world, not only by what I do, but I'm going to go reach the world through the missions program that my local church will have and be involved in that. Be involved in giving to that, praying for that. And if I ever get the opportunity, if I ever get called of God, I need to be involved in going to reach the people too. So Mark 16:15, go ye, who's he talking to? Everybody. Go you into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You know what, did you ever hear the topic, somebody will say, oh, that's a missions-minded church. I visit a lot of churches, and some churches I'll go in, they're a real missions-minded church. Well, every church is called to be a missions-minded church. Every church. And when we're not actually fulfilling the Great Commission. We're not fulfilling what we should do for the Lord. We're not doing what God would want us to do. The church is God's missions program to reach the world. He didn't set up anything else to go reach the world. There is not a bunch of angels at the moment flying around the world to give people the gospel. There's a lot of missionaries flying around the world to give people the gospel, sent by local churches just like this. You know, the church, we are the missions program. When I talk about the church, I'm not talking about the building here. I'm talking about the people in the building. And we need to be going and we need to be reaching the world. It's missions is our sole existence when we get saved. You know, I want you to think for a minute. Before somebody gets saved, before they become a Christian, what's their greatest need? The greatest need eternally is to get saved, to get right with God. Until you get to that place where you become a Christian, where you get saved by the grace of God, from you go from being a child of wrath to a child of the King, a child of a son of God. Until that happens for you, until you get born again, as it talks about in John chapter 3, and Jesus says to Nicodemus, "Ye must be born again." You know, until you get born again, your greatest need in life is not food, it is not water, it is not housing, it is not money, it is not relationships. Your greatest need in this world is salvation. And until you get that need dealt with, everything else should be put on hold. That is your greatest need. But when somebody gets saved and they repent of their sin and they ask God to forgive them, and Jesus forgives them, and the blood of Jesus Christ is applied to their life, and their past, present, and future sins are forgiven, they are never going to be more right with God than at that moment. So why is it that God just doesn't just take us out of this world right then and there? We're right with him. We're going to go to heaven when we die. Well, why not just take us out right then and there when we've accepted that gift of salvation and been reconciled to God, saved from our sin? And why don't we just go straight to heaven? Because God has a plan. God has a mission for us. He has a purpose for us. And once we have heard the gospel, and we have gotten saved, and we have repented of our sin and become Christians, well, once we've done that and had our greatest need met, the next step is to go and tell other people. The next step is to go and tell people, other people, how to have their sin forgiven, how to have their sins made right, how to have their relationship with God restored. You know, we need to go and reach this lost and dying world. You know, things are extremely bad in the world today. The news is always bad when you turn it on. You know, we are not getting better. Things are getting worse. You know, we need to go and reach people with the gospel. So before salvation, you know, the only thing that matters is somebody needing to get saved. After salvation, that needs to turn from your need has been met. It's to go and reach others around the world with the gospel so they can have that need met in their lives. You know, we need to be about the business of reaching the world, about the business of missions. You know, the very pinnacle of man's existence is to tell people about Jesus Christ once he's gotten saved. It is the way other people will find out. How shall they hear without a preacher? People will not know that they can get saved or how they can get saved if we're not willing to tell them. You know what? There is not another way. There is only one way, and that's through Jesus Christ, he says, according to the scriptures. You know, missions needs to be an important part of your life, an important part of your family. Reaching the world is where you need to be thinking, where your priorities need to be. And I don't just say that because I'm a missionary, but that needs to be what you do. You need to be involved in missions. You need to be thinking about missions. You need to be praying for missions. You need to be praying that God would use the missionaries that you support to reach people. You know, you're going to hear stories today about people that we're reaching over in Dublin. And we see many people get saved at New Hope and get discipled and go on for God. But it doesn't happen without people praying for us. It doesn't happen without people sending me as a missionary. It doesn't happen without people supporting us financially as missionaries. So let me encourage you. As a Christian, if you're not fully involved in missions, you're missing out. You're missing out on one of the most vital parts of your Christian life. And that is fulfilling the Great Commission. Going and reaching the world with the gospel. You know what? If we could fully grasp the need of salvation around our world and the need that people have with their sin problem, if we could fully grasp it, we would come to the conclusion, can't I do more? Oftentimes we just skirt around the need. The need is great. The fields are white on the harvest, the Bible says. The laborers are always the problem. We always need more laborers, more people going, more people giving, more people praying. You know what? Turn your Bibles to the most familiar verse in your entire Bible. You will find it in John 3:16. Probably don't even need to turn there for everybody. But I think it's always good to turn and to look at the pages of Scripture and to see it written down in the black and white or the red and white, depending on what your Bible has, if it has the words of Jesus in red or not. This is a wonderful example of missions and missions-minded. It is the mission, in a sense, of Jesus Christ, who came from heaven to earth to save us. And this is what he says. This is what Jesus said. This is Jesus speaking here. And he said, "For God so loved the world." Now, who's in the world? Well, all of us here. I'm in the world. Aiden's in the world. Hope you're in the world, or else we have a problem, all right? We're all in the world. "For God so loved the world." God loves you. God loves me. God loves everybody out there. "For God so loved the world that he gave." You know what? When it comes to missions work, when it comes to reaching the world, you're always going to have to give. People are always going to have to give. There's always a sacrifice involved. "For God so loved the world that he gave." What was God willing to give? The very best that he had. He gave his only begotten son. Who's that? Who's God's only begotten son? Jesus. "For God so loved the world that he gave Jesus, his only begotten son, that whosoever..." Who's a whosoever in here? I'm a whosoever. Aiden's a whosoever. Pastor's a whosoever. It's everybody. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him..." So all you got to do is believe in him, have faith and trust in him, depend upon what he's done. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know what? That is the need of every single person that's born on this planet. Every single person on this planet is loved by God. Provision has been made by God for them to have their sins forgiven through the death of the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross. The price for man's sins has been paid. Man has to believe. Man has to accept that free gift of salvation so he doesn't perish and have everlasting life. It's the only way to get saved. You will never save yourself. The world will never save itself. You know what? Christ's mission was to make a way for us to be restored to fellowship with God so that we could go to heaven one day. And you know what? He came and was willing to sacrifice himself. He came and sacrificed himself on our behalf. And Jesus became the way for us. You know, Mark 16 again says, go ye into all the world. You know what? Not some of the world, all the world. And sometimes when you read that and you really think about it, because oftentimes we read verses and we don't actually really think about them. But when you read that, go into all the world and preach the gospel. You know what? It's impossible. I can't go into all the world. Where am I? In? Daniel's now where I am in Dublin. Tala. Okay, I'm in Tala in Dublin. I'm in Tala in Dublin reaching people. Now, if I'm going to go to all the world, I'm going to have to leave Tala. I'm going to have to go over to Scotland. Then I'm going to have to go down to England, Wales. I'm going to have to go to China, India, Pakistan. I'm going to have to go to Iran and Iraq and, you know, maybe end up in Egypt sometime. I'm going to have to keep going all over the world. Am I going to get much done if I do that? Not really. I'm going to make Ryanair pretty rich, I would say. But I'm not going to be really effective doing that. So what am I going to do? I'm going to have to get people to go on my behalf. I'm going to have to get people to go on my behalf. I'm going to have to support people to go on my behalf. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Acts with me. Acts chapter 1. And we will get to Acts chapter 8 in a minute. But Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Acts is a great book. It's a wonderful book. When I heard somebody preaching from the book of Acts in a missions conference, that's when I surrendered to be a missionary and thought God would definitely be calling me to be a missionary. So hearing preaching from the book of Acts. I want you to look at Acts 1:8, and it's a real familiar verse. So how are we going to do this mission stuff? How are we going to go and reach the world and preach the gospel to every creature? Bible says this, again, it's Jesus' words here written in red, and it says, but ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. So where did they have to go and be witnesses for Jesus? Everywhere. They had to go everywhere. You know what? Jesus told them, I want you to go, and you know, you're going to be witnesses to me in Jerusalem. That's where they were. So that's their local town. I want you to go and reach your Jerusalem. Then he says, I want you to go into all Samaria. So that'll be your kind of like your surrounding area of Edinburgh and around that kind of area. And then he wanted you to go into all Judea. Then he wanted you to go into Samaria, which would be your countryside area. And then he wants you to go to the utmost part of the earth. You know, what a massive, massive responsibility we have in the work of missions. We're commanded to go make disciples. We're told to go and teach and baptize those who believe. You know, the local church is commanded to preach the gospel in its Jerusalem and then obviously spread out to the uttermost part of the world. It's not an option for us. It's not like we can give or take with missions with God. Missions is it. You know, we have to be involved. We cannot turn away and put the responsibility on anybody else. You know what? I used to think to myself before I knew a lot about missions, I thought, well, why do we need to kind of send money away to missionaries and stuff like that? Why can't we just use the money here? Why can't, like, we use all the money that comes in here for reaching the people here, and then, like, where Aidan is, use all the money in his church for reaching the people in his church, and then, you know, this other church down in the other town can use their money for reaching that town, and then we'll be sorted, and everybody will look after their own. Well, if everybody does that, the world will never be reached. The world will never be reached. And that's not the command of God. The command of God to the Christians and to the church was, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Not just stay in your town, but go into the whole world. Go and reach those regions beyond your local area, beyond where your country is, your city is, and then go reach the rest of the world, the uttermost part of the world. The first thing about a Christian church, when a New Testament church is established and grown, the first thing we need to understand about it is that the Bible will be its sole authority of faith and practice. So where we learn how to be a church and where we learn how to be Christians is from the Bible. If it's not in the Bible, you can't depend on it. We don't have church tradition as one of the pillars that we decide what we're doing from. It's solely the scriptures that we learn how to be Christians and how we should reach the world. And God has given in the Bible the clear command on how mission should be done through the local church, that missionaries should be sent out of a local church, and that churches should give financially to those missionaries. Now, we're not going to have time to go through all that, but you can get there some other stage when pastor's preaching. But the reality is, everything we get from a missions point of view has to come from Scripture. So our mission's going and just feeding poor people? Not quite. Because missions is more than that. Missions has to go, and it might feed the poor people, and we get there in a minute. Like I go and feed poor people, and I'm house homeless people, but that's really not missions. That's what I do to enable me to have communication with those type of people. But really my ultimate goal is to evangelize them, to see them saved, to see them added to a church, and ultimately them go on to the place where they will go and be involved in missions, reaching other people, and that cycle continues and that develops from there. You know, I think when you're looking at companies, we had to do some work when I was in college on different companies, and their, in a sense, their statements or their vision of how you're going to reach the world. And the best one is Coca-Cola. Coca-Cola is absolutely everywhere you go. And I think the church can learn some lessons from, I suppose, the bigness of how they think. You know, they used to have a motto, and it was think globally, but act locally. Okay? So they had their world as their mission field, in a sense, to get Coke into every country. But you know what? They started off by acting locally. And that's the way we need to be too. They wanted to get a Coke into the reach of anyone in any part of the world that was thirsty. That's a lofty ambition, isn't it? Well, the church should have the lofty ambition of getting the gospel into every hand of every person in every language in every country around the world. That's what our motto should be. That's the command in Scripture. We need to go and reach the world. Acts 8:1. Remember I said I'm dyslexic and I read numbers backwards. Skip over to Acts chapter 8. I don't have great fun being dyslexic. I'll start reading out of a passage that I told everybody to turn to. It'll be the right passage in my head, but they'll be all in the wrong verse. So we just read in Acts chapter 1, we read Jesus telling the apostles and the disciples there to go into all the world, to Jerusalem and to the Judea and Samaria and the uttermost part of the world. Well, now we're reading in Acts chapter 8. How many chapters are in between Acts chapter 1 and Acts chapter 8? Seven chapters. Well, that's a lot that's gone on. Well, let's read Acts chapter 8. Let's read verse 1. And Saul consenting, consenting unto his death. I was talking about Stephen. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout all the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Okay, and devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made a great lamentation over him. For as for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Wherefore, they were scattered abroad, went everywhere. What did they go everywhere doing? Preaching the word. Do you know they had the command in Acts chapter 1 verse 8? But we're in Acts chapter 8 verse 1 now, and really everybody's still in Jerusalem. They haven't actually spread themselves out the way you're meant to just yet. They were still there. And what God done was, God told them to go reach the world, but most of them are still there. So what God sent was, God allowed persecution to come into the church in Jerusalem. He sent pressure into the church in Jerusalem. And that pressure came mainly from a man called Saul. And he was a bad guy. He was a bad character. His main responsibility was to go in and close down churches, to see Christians and get them and lock them up and break up families. And, you know, he would break down the doors of houses and drag the father and mother out because they were Christians and they were doing church stuff and have them locked up. He would at times have had people killed. If you read the account of Stephen, you have the Apostle Paul holding their cloak, the guys that stoned Stephen to death, their cloaks are lying at Saul's feet. Saul is the one that's responsible for it all and given the okay for them to do it. You know, why did he have to hold their cloaks? So the blood didn't get on them. You know what, when they're talking about stoning somebody like Stephen to death, he was one of the Christians in the church there. They're not talking about throwing rocks at him like we would talk. They're talking about picking up boulders and actually caving the guy's head in with the boulders. You know, with the big bricks. You know, they stoned him to death. They killed him. And Saul was consenting onto his death. He was responsible for it. Do you know that man, as bad as he was on a journey one day. And the Bible says he was on the road to Damascus. And suddenly there appeared unto him Jesus. And Jesus basically challenged him about what he was doing. The man got saved, became a Christian, went, joined a local church, served in that church for a number of years, got trained. And that church eventually sent him out after a number of years as a missionary. And he wrote most of your New Testament. His name got changed from being Saul to being Paul. And he became the Apostle Paul, a wonderful missionary, and where we get a lot of our ideas of how we should do missions and what we should do. But he didn't start off that way. He started off as a man who was had a bad reputation. But you know what? These Christians in Jerusalem, they weren't fulfilling the Great Commission, and God sent persecution to them, allowed persecution to come. And you know what? That got them motivated. Now, hopefully, God won't have to send persecution to your church to get you really motivated for getting involved in missions and reaching the world. But whatever God has to do to get us reaching the world, that must be a good thing. I think we can do it on our own. We can get a burden to go reach the world and a burden to give the missions. But we need to get it. We need to evangelize the world. You know, when God loved the world, he so loved the world. You know what, he absolutely gave everything he had for it. And it's the business of this church and every other church to go and do God's business and reach the world with the gospel. And if our church is not doing God's business, then our church has no business being in business. You know, we need to be about reaching the world. So I'm going to show you three areas where you have to get involved in missions, and then we'll be done. And where you have to get involved in missions, where are you going to start? If you've never been involved in missions, it's got to start in your head. Okay? I'm very simple and practical. It's got to start in your head. Well, what do we do with our heads? We think, don't we? We think with our heads, all right? Well, if you're ever going to be involved in missions, if I'm ever going to be involved in missions, it's got to start in my head. I got to start thinking about it. And that's why churches will have missions conferences. That's why they'll have missionaries come in, share their burden with you, present their ministries to you, send prayer letters to you, because they want to get missions into your head. If they never get them into your head, they'll never go any further. They'll never drop down to your heart. So the first thing is we need to get it into your head. You know, I want you to be thinking about missions. I want you praying for missions. It is in my interest that you pray for my family and my ministry. So please get a heart for what we do. But it will start by us coming before you, showing what we're doing for Jesus Christ and reaching people. But it starts in the head. You know, the Bible, in a sense, is the menu for missions conference. There's so many places you could go to look at missions in the Bible. So it's absolutely wonderful. But in order to get there, you have to realize or recognize some truth. And the truth is that the orders are we have to reach the world. But we have to reach the world because they have sinned and come short of the glory of God, the Bible says. In Romans 3:23, the Bible says, "For all have sinned." Now again, what does that word all mean? All means all, and that's all that it means. Okay? So when the Bible says, "For all have sinned," what does that mean? That means everybody has sinned. There's not a person on the planet that has not sinned. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We fall short of the glory of God. We will never make it on our own. There is nobody that will make it on our own. You know what? We just fall short. So not only must mission start in our head, but the gospel of Christ is the only means that the lost will be saved. In Romans 1:16, the Bible says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." So do you know there's not a person in this room that could not be saved? That could not get saved. Salvation is for everyone that believe it. What about the ones that don't believe? Well, they don't get saved. They don't get saved. They will stand before God one day and answer for their own sin. And God doesn't have a list of different places he can send you to. There's heaven or there's hell, and there's no in between. There's no purgatory. There's nowhere else you can go to pay off a debt. If you accept Jesus Christ while you're living, you will be saved and you will end up in heaven when you die. If you reject Jesus Christ while you are living, you will end up in hell forever. That's what the Bible says. It's not what I say. I wish it was something else. I wish there was a more chances. I wish, you know, we could change our mind when we die somehow. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that what you do with Jesus Christ while you're alive here on earth, while you're making decisions, ultimately will determine where you spend your eternity. There's no other way. Good works won't do it. You can't be good enough. We all fall short. It's a different economy. Doing good works isn't going to do it for you. You know, I used to go to a church where I got baptized as a baby, and I thought that would get me into heaven. That doesn't get us into heaven according to the Bible. You know what? Church membership, you could come and join this good church here and be a member and be here at every service. And you get to heaven if you're not saved, and God will say, "You know what, I'm sorry, but church membership is no good. We don't take that currency here." What about keeping the sacraments? That won't do it either. What about praying? That won't do it either. You can pray 10 hours a day and get to heaven, or I guess stand before God on the judgment day, and God's going to say, "I'm absolutely sorry. I know you've prayed a lot, but that's not it. Do you know my son Jesus? What did you do with Jesus?" That is the only question. You know, no matter what we do, we can't be saved of our own merit. The Bible says it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. It's not about what I can do. I can never work my way to heaven. If I could, Jesus would have never had to die on the cross. We would have had to be just better people. But I could never be better. I could never be good enough. Because I fall short of God's glory. So God had to send his son Jesus to come to earth to die on that cross for my sin so that I could be good enough. But I'm not good enough in what I do. I'm good enough in what he's done. You know, I want you to turn over to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5 with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You know what? God, if you're a Christian, God, if you're not a Christian, God wants you to be a Christian. If you are a Christian, God wants you to be involved in getting the gospel to the lost and dying world. And every Christian is responsible. 2 Corinthians 5. God has committed us to the word of reconciliation. Look at verse 19. to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and had committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. You know what we need to do? We need to go and preach the gospel to people, because we are looking for people to be reconciled to God. You know what? They need to learn who God is. They need to know God's love. They need to know the cost of rejecting God. They need the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, for you to go and reach the world, you need to know that people, the only way to heaven is through Jesus. So we preach Jesus crucified. We preach Jesus and what he done on the cross for man's sin. You know, when you learn that truth for yourself, you should have a burden to go and reach other people and tell others. So mission starts in the head, but where does it need to go? It needs to go to the heart. Because you can know all the facts and all the information. Or you could come up here today and give you a list of how many people are in the world, how many people are going to die today and this week and next year, how many people are without the gospel in the world. I can give you all the facts and figures, but really I don't think they really affect the heart. We need to get it to the heart. You know, the Bible says this in Mark 6:21. It says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. We need to get missions, not just in our head that, yes, I know I need to do it, but we need to, in a sense, get a love for it, a love to do it. Otherwise, we start off because we have a bit of a burden, but that burden will fizzle out over time. You will forget this handsome face when it's not standing in front of you after a few weeks. But if you have a heart for what we do, and a heart for reaching those addicts, and it can be addicts in your community. If this church has somebody in their community, your neighbor, your grandchild, your son, your daughter, or whatever, that needs help, you can call us and we can organize to get them help. They could come over to Dublin, men. Men could come over to Dublin and we could help them, we could house them, they could go through the program and be helped. So our ministry is, in a sense, a help to local churches as well. You know what? I have to get you involved with your heart. And I'm not going to play some touchy music to get a hold of your heartstrings this morning or anything like that. I'm going to show you the need. And you're going to have to work it out. God's going to have to do a work in your heart. But we need our heart engaged in missions. You know, faith will affect how you feel. But how you feel should never affect your faith. Okay? Faith will affect how you feel. And when you start to see the reason for missions and what man's destiny is and the hopelessness that's out there, I hope you get involved in missions. I hope you get a burden for my ministry and the other ministries that you are involved in, other families that you're involved with. We need to have a passion for missions. You know what? If you have to learn to love it, you know, you will have to learn to love missions or you won't stay at it. You have to learn to love it or you won't stay at it. You know, the more you know your missionaries, the more you will feel connected to them. So that's why you have to be reading the prayer letters. If you ever get an opportunity to come and see what we do, I know pastor's been there. If you ever get an opportunity to be in Dublin, you should be saying, okay, can I come up and see that place that we've been supporting from our church? Get involved. If you ever have questions about addiction or something like that, absolutely. If you have questions about the Bible, call your pastor. But if you have questions and you need answers or somebody, your neighbor needs help, you know, pastor can get you in touch with me and I can work out getting help for them. If that's what you want us to do, absolutely fine to do that. We need to have passion for missions. There needs to be compassion in our missions. You know, it's impossible to have compassion and remain complacent or indifferent. You know, compassion moves us to do something for somebody else, to take action. Jude 22 to 23 says, and some having compassion, making a difference, pulling them out of the fire. You know what? A small few can make a huge difference with the many. You know what? Some having compassion, making a difference. You can make a difference in missions. You can make a difference in this world. What's the key to compassion then? Well, the key to compassion is actually seeing the need. Seeing the need. That's why we're going to show you the slides and talk to you about it. That's why Aidan's going to tell you a story about prison, drugs, growing up in a rough place and a rough family where things weren't always easy, and what God's done for him. You know, we need you to see the need. For missions, you're going to have to see the need. And Jeremiah said in Lamentations 3:51, he says, "Mine eye affected mine heart." What we see has an impact on how we feel. Jesus saw the multitudes, and what did they say when he saw the multitudes? He was moved with compassion. And if we're ever going to be moved, we're going to have to see the need. You know, how is your vision of missions? How do you see what Jesus does? Do you see the things the way Jesus sees them? Or are you blinded to the needs of others? Are you blinded to the needs of others? You know, one of the questions the lady said, missions is going and helping the poor. You know what? When you see people that are poor and stuff like that, it should do something to you. You know, because nobody should be seeing that. You know, I could show you like pictures of people sleeping under a bridge this morning in my local town. And would that move you? I hope it would. You know, it's not easy. It's cold outside. I came out at 4 o'clock this morning to my car, and you know what was on my car? Ice. If you're sleeping out on the street, what do you think's on you in the morning when you wake up? You're freezing. What do you do for food? You know, where do you go to get washed? Where do you use the toilet? And there's homeless people in all their cities. In Edinburgh, down the road. You know, people have drug and alcohol problems in every single town in Scotland. You know, when their families are broken and their kids aren't getting fed and their kids aren't getting sent to school, or you have their kids raising themselves and siblings raising siblings because the parents can't look after themselves because they're too full of the drugs or the drink. Would that move you? It should move you. You see, missions needs to be, I have a responsibility for reaching the world, but you will see needs in people's lives, and that should move you to reach them. And not just to go feed them. Yes, feed them, but go give them the gospel. Because you want to meet their physical needs now, but you have to go and help them to see their eternal needs met. Missions needs to start in the head. It needs to go to the heart. Where there is no vision, the people perish. We need to have a vision for it. It needs to go to our heart, but it must continue with our hands. Let me see your hands. Everybody got a pair of hands in here? These are my hands. Let me ask you a challenging question. When was the last time your hands done something for Jesus? What do we do with our hands? Our hands are a symbol of action, aren't they? You know what? If I was to say to you, come on up here now. What are we talking about? Come on up here and we're going to have a fight. Is that right? We're not going to have a fight today, right? I know we're Irish, but we're not going to start any trouble in the church today. But if I was to say that our hands are symbols of action. You know what? Missions continues with our hands. It takes work to be involved in missions. You know, I know a church down in England. And they're only a little small church. They don't even have a pastor. They support my ministry. They support my family and they support my ministry separately. They have a coffee morning every month where they sell coffee and tea and cakes that they home make and stuff like that. And the money they send over to help fund New Hope Residential Centre every month. And this month, I don't know how they done it, but this month it was £570 or something like that. I don't know where they got that out. Sometimes people go in and give them gifts when they find out what it's for. But they do that. Small little church just making a difference. Being involved. You know how they make those cakes and call people in? They use their hands. You know what? Your hands are a symbol of action. You know, get involved in what Jesus is doing. Jesus is involved in missions. If you can learn to play an instrument so you can play in church, do that. You know, don't just have one person in the church that can play the piano. Why doesn't everybody learn how to play? You know, there's always a need for more people to get training, to get involved, to sacrifice, to be involved in opening up, to be involved in setting up, to be involved in going out, giving out leaflets, to be involved in going and reaching people. There's always more people needing to be involved. You know what? If you have stuff going on in your church, you know, be missions minded. Get involved in it. You know, you have a Christmas program coming up. Set yourself a goal that I'm going to invite 5 people. I'm going to ask 5 people to come to the Christmas program. Thing about a Christmas program is people are normally will come to something like that. They kind of expect to go to something like that at Christmas. Let me encourage you. Ask somebody out to the Christmas program. Use your hands, your mouth, your time, your feet to walk and ask somebody. Be a missionary for a few minutes and go and try reach somebody. You know, I could go lots of places. There's lots of people in the Bible that we could go and look at how they, you know, surrendered to God and got involved in doing what God would have them to do. You know, Abraham had to leave his home and in Ur of the Chaldees and go where God wanted him to go. Moses had to let go of the treasures of Egypt. Elijah had to let go of the oxen and the plow and go and reach the world and go and reach who he had to reach. And Peter and John had to let go of their fishing nets to go and follow Jesus. Matthew had to leave his receipt of custom and where he was making all that money. You know what? I've had to leave my family, in a sense, Claire's family, behind in Scotland. We were living in Scotland for 5 years and left our home in Scotland to be missionaries in Ireland. You know what? Sometimes there's a sacrifice that needs to be made to be involved in missions. We looked at John 3:16. Jesus, the Father had to give up Jesus and Jesus had to be willing to go. Where did he go from? He went from heaven to earth. There was a sacrifice involved. He had to go through the pain of the cross. You know what? There's always a sacrifice. Are we willing to sacrifice? If we're not willing to sacrifice, let me tell you, we'll never get there. Missions needs to start in your head, and I'm finished. Mission starts in your head. You gotta get the need that you know there's a need, and why there's a need. Then it needs to go to your heart. You need to lift up your eyes and see the need. And then it takes action. Then it's you go. Then it's you put your hand in your pocket, okay? And you give to missions. Then you get down on your knees and you pray for the missionaries. And you pray for God's power upon their ministry. And you say, I thought we were reaching the world. That's your way of reaching the world. You send missionaries to go to places you can't go to on your behalf. And the Bible says that it gets accredited to your account. Let me encourage you. You know, every person that's been saved in our ministry has been accredited to your account here. You have sent us as missionaries to go and do that. And we see lots of guys getting saved. You know why? Because we see guys coming in absolutely broken. We're absolutely nothing. You know, I had a guy give a testimony the other day. And he's a 60-year-old man. Aiden's his key worker. He's the one-to-one guy that works with him. His name is Derek. And Derek was an IRA member. He's a terrorist type guy. And he ended up in jail for many, many years. And he got out of jail and he started messing around with drugs and he became a drug addict, is what we would call him. Ultimately, he has seven kids, I think, or something like that, 15 grandkids or something. And he ultimately ended up living under a bridge as a 60-year-old man, heroin addict, living under a bridge, shaving and getting washed in the local canal that he was living by. His clothes hidden in a bush. No hope. No help. A local church, not our church, heard about him, went down, talked to him, brought him up to us for an assessment, for an interview. We took him in the next day. He got saved. He is now reading his Bible as much as he can. He can't really read and write too well, so he listens to the Bible on tape as we're doing it. He's in Bible class. His life has changed around. He is now a 60-year-old man who has a passion for seeing people reached and seeing people helped. And when we get a hold of really what God's done in our own lives and saving us, we will get a burden for going and reaching other people. This old saying that we use back in our ministry is, hurting people hurt people, but helped people help people. And listen, if we can see people reached, they will want to see others reached. Who will want to see others reached? Who will want to see others reached? That's how we're going to reach the world. One soul at a time. One leaflet at a time, one door being knocked at a time, one gospel meeting at a time. You sending missionaries, you supporting missionaries as you can, you praying for missionaries every week, being involved in the missionaries' life, knowing what they're doing, knowing what their ministry does, knowing up-to-date prayer requests so that you can pray effectively for their ministry. And you can see a great work done, even from your small little church here in Scotland. You can see a worldwide work done. For the gospel of Jesus Christ, preacher.